Good afternoon. This is our podcast Queensland Life with Nick Hine from Diaries Down Under. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. So we are in the midst of winter here in Queenstown and it's been snowing today. Excited?
Always excited when it's snowing. It's always a good sign that we've got something to slide around on in the mountains.
Absolutely.
So.
We're just hanging out here at the Sherwood. And we're going to have a listen, a bit of a talk around what Diaries is. Everybody who I speak to has heard of it. So that's a good sign.
It is a good sign.
But I guess for me and for the listeners, it's to talk about where it came from. And I guess a little bit about how you set it up and who's involved.
Yeah, well, so involved is myself and a good friend of mine, Ben Ryan, and he and I started actually making webisodes.
We're doing a podcast.
Webisodes in 2007 for Snowpark. So kind of right when internet was just getting fast enough to be able to watch content online, fast enough to load, you know, broadband and everything. Ben decided to do, he wanted to produce a web series for Snowpark New Zealand, and they got behind it, and he approached me to be the host, and I guess kind of a key talent for that. We did that for a season, and then we kind of decided, like, well, that was pretty cool. That worked. Why don't we try and do it around Queenstown? So basically, we just went cap in hand to all of my personal snowboarding sponsors and got a little bit of money from them, and then approached nzski.com to promote their resorts through the series, and off we went.
Because I guess that initially, like you said, they got behind it is the really hard bit. I found, especially here, where I think the whole internet podcast blog kind of scene is quite a long way behind the rest of the world. And for people to actually say, yeah, we'll give it a chance, is like the first step. And explaining how that can work for people. So it's amazing that they said, let's go.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd always had like a pretty good relationship. I mean, I've always had a good relationship with all of my sponsors. Most of them I've had for like 12 years now or something. It was always good that we had that existing relationship, and Ben, super good at what he does. And snowboarding is what I'm pretty much obsessed with. So it was quite a good transition into that. And we managed to convince them that we'd produce some good content, and we kind of followed up.
Okay. So then what happened with that content? Where did it go? What did you do?
We were posting to, so the first step that I took was getting in touch with Transworld Snowboarding, which is basically the world's largest distributor of snow content.
Yeah.
And I asked them, like, if we create this series, would you guys be stoked on pushing it for us? So naturally, and then they said yes. Which was awesome for us because it kind of gave up us that that channel to tell our sponsors that we're pushing out to, you know, the world. It's not just New Zealand or whatever. So, and they were, I mean, Transworld was stoked because they're getting good quality content during their summer. So, it all just worked out quite nicely.
And then it became the website?
So we did 2 years off our own backs, and then Ben got approached by a production company called Winter Volume in Australia, and they said, what you guys are doing is pretty awesome, we think. how about we get some corporate sponsorship? So they kind of took on board a lot of the work and gained sponsorship for us, and that's where we kind of got like Tourism New Zealand, Destination Queenstown, and some other, like we had a beer sponsor there for a while out of Australia, and that's what allowed us to step up our camera arsenal and all our equipment and really take production to the next level. And through that, we were on In-Flight Entertainment, and now we've like put together a TV show and on In-Flight Entertainment again now, and just kind of growing the whole series and through the relationships that we have. And then a couple of years after, we got on board with Air New Zealand. And we've been creating content outside of the series for them, you know, just kind of anything that's snow related. So it's kind of evolved in a very organic way, really.
So how are you more about teaching people tips and tricks, or where to ski and snowboard, or, you know, what's the accessibility for people?
So
why should they watch the stuff? What are they going to get from it?
Yeah, so what we do basically is we just try and create the most, I guess, epic and aspirational content that we can. So we have, you know, the concept is kind of having the best writers in the Southern Hemisphere writing the best locations with the best filmers.
Yeah.
So that's the concept behind it, and that those kind of key elements when they come together mean that you can showcase New Zealand and Queenstown and the mountains and the whole kind of Kiwi experience, I guess, to the world through the episodes. While still keeping the core snowboard audience happy with, you know, new school tricks and whatnot.
Because I guess if you've been, I mean, what year did you start producing content?
So 2007 is when we started with Diaries. Has been going since 2008.
Yeah. So how do you year on year say come to Queenstown? Why does that content keep going?
Because I think we just try to. Basically, you have to slightly reinvent yourself each year. I guess the nature of the mountains and the seasons and people. There's always people need to be kind of inspired to come to the mountains, and you know, if there's tons of new snow at a certain time of the year, or there's a new lift that's gone in, or there's a new hut that we want to go to, or there's new terrain that we want to access for heli, or people just want to see the next trick, there's always a progression year on year, and I think that kind of keeps people coming back for more.
Because I know for me, people go, Queenstown, like, how can you keep producing content about Queenstown because it's so tiny? But for me, and I panic, I go to bed every night and go, oh my god, I'm gonna have nothing to write about. But then by the next afternoon there's something else that I kind of discover. And I guess it's the same for you, where you'll go up there and be like, we've not been there, or we've not been there, or we've not done that, or oh, let's try that.
Yeah, for sure.
Your mum must hate you. Your mum must be like, don't kill yourself.
Yeah, I mean, always you think you've kind of done it all, but there's always spots, you know, that like we'll get a storm, it'll mean that opens up new terrain that we've never been able to hit before, or sometimes it's the opposite, you know, because of, you know, bad conditions we'll have to go somewhere, or it just depends, because the mountains are so kind of fickle in their nature. We're always just having to kind of explore and go a little bit further, and we're doing we've always done a little bit up in Canterbury as well.
Yeah.
So we're not bound to just Queenstown.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is our base for sure.
Where's this love of snow come from? I'm well known for hating winter. And I think if we had a fight, I'd win from summer. You could be winter, I'll be summer. Where's that come from? Obviously childhood somewhere.
Well, I've since the age of five, I was always just super into skateboarding.
Yeah.
And then from the age of six, I started skiing. And then when I was nine, I think I bought my first snowboarding magazine because I was like, oh my god, I can put skateboarding and snowboarding together.
And, it's a dream!
And then I went snowboarding and never looked back, really. Yeah. The rest is history.
And how many seasons have you done?
I've done the last 13 years, back-to-back winters. So something like 25 or 26 winters in a
row.
You're
a loser.
Yeah.
Because where do you go when you leave here? When does the season finish for you here?
Pretty busy with snow stuff up until kind of late October usually in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then for the last however many years, 7 or 8 years, I've hung around in Queenstown until kind of December or so, when I either leave to go, you know, somewhere before going overseas, or stay around for Christmas and then take off to Japan is usually the spot of choice.
Yeah.
This past season I was in Japan, and then I was in China, and then Europe, and then kind of back to Queenstown in March or April.
Yeah, and then set all up over again.
Then set up another winter, yeah.
So as we had a World Media Day thing last week, and a lot of the questions that people were asking was, how do you, one, keep your audience interested, but also what's time worthy for you around social media for you guys? What's worth you putting your time into, do you think?
I mean people who are excited about coming on a ski holiday, they want to see what's going on now, as well as seeing, you know, the craziest tricks and the, you know, the most epic kind of journeys that can be told around here. But there's also like the scenic side of things. Yeah. Like anybody who's, I think, come to Queenstown kind of really appreciates how beautiful of a place we live in here. Yeah. So definitely like, yeah, anything where we can get up into a helicopter, show off the mountains, show off the new snow. Like for us, I think probably even more so than like a crazy new trick of some variety is just going the extra mile to get the better snow and the better location and waiting for that nice, you know, window of weather to tie all of those elements together to create something that people go, I need to get my ass out of bed and get it back on my snowboard.
Yeah. So pre-season, I guess for here, do you sit down together and kind of look at what you want to create for the year, for that season?
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. And how does that process happen?
Well, usually we kind of have a think about the best episodes that we've done and the ones that have been received with the most praise. Also, we have, you know, sponsors who have constantly evolving business plans and whatnot. Yeah. So we kind of come up with a production schedule and a loose overview of what we think is going to work throughout the season. But in saying that, conditions and timing and certain boxes that need to be ticked kind of can change the plan along the way a little bit.
Yeah. Best Queenstown season that you can remember?
This is one of the best starts I can remember, to be honest.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But 2004 was one of the seasons that
people... Can't believe you remember
that. 2004 was my second proper season in Queenstown. That one was pretty epic. Going back a decade now. Jesus. 2009 was good. 2010 was good. 2011, we got a crazy storm. Yeah. Yeah. Anything, 2009, 2010, 2004, those ones were good.
Nice. Filming for you, where are you interested in going next in the world?
In the world, filming? Well, I would love to go back and film a little bit more in Europe. I haven't really explored Europe too much, and the mountains are gigantic, and just the culture over there is everybody kind of embraces the mountains and embraces winter. And actually, Korea is on the list.
Nice.
Yeah. Korea is on the list, and I'm going back to China as well.
Awesome. Here versus the rest of the world, like I learned in France when I was badly in France a long time ago, and I came here and kind of went, where's the mountain? And they were like, it's there, that's it. And I remember in France it was like you could spend days and days and days just getting on lifts. And I guess, you know, the quality of skiing around here is the facilities and all that stuff is getting better and better and better. Do you have opinions as to what they need to do, as to what they can do that's following Europe or...?
Well, I think the scale is a little bit different in that, you know, like, the ski culture has been going for so long in Europe.
Yeah.
And New Zealand is still pretty new in the scheme of things, I guess, even though, you know, Coronet Peak's been going since 1950 or however long. I guess, you know, like in Europe as well, they have kind of chalets on the mountain. But New Zealand, we don't have gondolas going up for kilometres like they do in Europe. But the terrain parks and the freestyle side of things in New Zealand are literally world class.
Yeah.
So like Cadrona, Remarkables, those types of places, you can ride facilities that are on par with the best place in the world. We also have amazing free riding as well. You just need to kind of go the extra mile to access it. But in terms of what needs to be done, I think we're on the right track, you know, like amazing base facilities, keeping everybody, you know, cozy and out of the cold when they need to be, and getting faster and better lift access. And snowmaking is obviously pretty key for the future of Queenstown as well, because Coronet Peak's not doesn't have much altitude. It doesn't have altitude on its side. And a couple of degrees can kind of, you know, decide whether it's going to be the worst day or the best day ever.
Yeah, totally. And I was looking at your, I guess your kind of your youth market. And I always think about how people get into that stuff and what they'd be doing if they weren't doing that stuff. Not that I'm saying you'd be a criminal, but I know a lot of people who do sport, if they hadn't have found that thing, they'd be kind of lost as to what they'd be doing. And I think that youth market, you know, young people will look up to you guys and be like, wow, that's either untouchable or it's something that I want to be doing. And it's a really important thing to live up to. Can you explain a little? Because where were you born? Were you born in Queenstown?
I was born in Hamilton, actually. But I've lived in Mount Maunganui my whole life until I moved to Queenstown.
So being a young person and discovering this thing that's, you know, completely propelled you into some other world, what do you think about young people and how they, that world that they want to go into? You know, because a lot of young people will be, right, if I just stick, you know, get a camera and stick a snowboard, I'm going to make millions, you know, and it obviously works differently to that. What's your kind of thoughts around young people and that whole ski world?
Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, if I hadn't had snowboarding, which is, well, skateboarding probably more so, I don't know what the hell I would have been doing. I played tennis until I started skateboarding, and then once I started skateboarding, tennis became not quite so exciting. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what I would be doing, literally. But, yeah, in terms of kind of, in terms of, like, wanting to create snow content and do it professionally from the film side of things, or becoming, turning snowboarding into your job, I think sometimes you just have to, look at what you're giving to the companies or the entities, people that are going to be giving you the money.
Yeah.
So you have to think this is an exchange. It's not just go snowboarding and get paid because you're good.
Absolutely not.
It's you're creating something for them to use to as leverage for their good.
Yeah. And that whole connection is really important. You know, it's like I always think there are people who blog or write or do stuff, you know, that's just, they're just doing stuff for stuff's sake, whereas actually it's really important to, there's got to be a point to that whole thing, because
there has to be a need for what you're delivering.
Yeah
Which is, I mean, that's the cool thing with you know, I guess my passion for snowboarding has evolved into a passion for, you know, the tourism industry and the snow industry and creating this content that inspires people to come on a holiday to, you know, an amazing place like Queenstown, and enjoy the mountains. So,
I've written down here diary days. How does that work differently?
Diary days?
Yeah.
Well, we did diary days. That was a series we did for Tourism New Zealand in conjunction. They were really wanting to push getting mostly Europeans over on working holiday visas to New Zealand. So we proposed a series of kind of a day in the life of how somebody's working life may go, you know, in Queenstown.
Yeah, yeah.
So we created one for each season, summer, winter, autumn.
Oh, you see.
Spring.
The S word came in there. I got it.
Yeah. There you go. I wasn't here for the summer
one. Yeah, whatever.
I was here for the other three. I'm not a hater of summer, by the way.
Yeah, whatever.
just like snowboarding.
Yeah.
The so we did that and created some pretty cool little stories.
Yeah, cool. So right at the end, I always do. God, we're nearly 20 minutes already. I always do some quick fire questions that you have to answer. Walnut or almond? Mm. Almond, as you lot say.
No, I would say almond. Almond.
Salt or sweet?
Sweet.
Brittany or Christina?
Christina.
Mountain or sea?
Mountain.
One album, if you had to listen to for the rest of your life, what would it be?
The National, Trouble Will Find Me.
Ooh. Coronet or Remarks?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Remarkables.
One food from a country forever for the rest of your life?
red curry from Thailand.
Whoa. Favorite snowboard, should I say.
Favorite snowboard?
Yeah, that ever would, in your life.
That would be...
I hope you haven't snapped it.
Well, it's not my current... probably my first snowboard, which was a Burton Twin 139. Saved up a lot of hard pennies for that. Yeah.
I love it. Seen a lot. And my tagline's kind of small but mighty. So for you, I guess, something small but mighty that's, you know, what does that mean to you?
Small but mighty. I think of Tyrion off Game of Thrones.
Don't tell me I haven't seen the last series.
Small but mighty, what does that mean to me? I think it means, I don't know, you can do something small, but it might have a mighty big impact on somebody in a way that you never knew.
Awesome. Nick Hine, thank you very much.
Thank you.